Good morning, Vine Church. What a brilliant, brilliant joy and honor to speak again. Aaron called me on Tuesday and said, could I fill in for him today, which I'm always delighted to do. But I always say to God, I can only speak if you give me fresh bread. If you only speak something, I can't just churn out Sermon 42. And I can't just read a book. And if you speak afresh, and I went to my room, and he did. And so, but before I get started, it's cool in here. Why don't you stand up? Because my message is basically about others. So why don't you find two, three, four others, give them a high five or a low two, whatever you want to do. Just greet somebody and make sure everybody feels welcome. Bless you, bro. So, guys, what a great, great notions we've just been given about Easter. And I want to get you absolutely fired up and more excited about this Easter than ever before. And I don't know about you, but when the wife says we're going to watch a movie, I like to know what's coming, you know. I don't want to spend 60 minutes to discover it's absolutely enough. And so I just felt it'd be good if you knew a little bit what's coming this morning, because I had 4 points laid up, but actually then the Lord gave me a download and said, well, let's see where this goes. So here's what's coming, if this works. So I'm going to be talking about others. I'm going to talk very quickly about the 7 killers the enemy works on to stop us reaching others. I want to touch on the fact that being other-centered, something's happened wrong, that slides went bananas, but never anymore. Oh, it's all right up there. It's screwed up there, but anyway, here we go. If we could get the world to be other-centered, it would end all wars. If we can get the world to be other-centered, then people would be more fully alive, you and me and everybody, even in suffering places. And I think this is the last one coming up. When Jesus modeled being other-centered, his message and his heart and his love circled the earth. And I believe he's ready to do it again. So that's what I had lined up. And then he spoke. Because I said to the Lord, you know, people have heard Easter story all their life. I really need to drill down deep. I need to bring something new, fresh, I've never had before, I've never seen before. Someone is going to help us thrive all the days of our life in the others-centered zone. And then he spoke. And clear as anything, he showed me a football stadium, or I don't even know if it was it's a sports stadium in heaven. And 2 big words across that: game abandoned. I don't know about you guys, but when you were a child and you're watching your favorite team or sport and you're 2-0 up and the snow starts to come on, I mean, every fiber of your being is like, oh, no, please, referee. And then comes the moment where he blows the whistle. And he says, however you do it, Jimmy, just focus on one point, game abandoned. Just focus on one single message. How I'm going to do that, I've no idea, but I pray God helps me to share some things I've never seen before in the Easter story, and how he took the worst word some people have ever heard, abandoned, and some have been abandoned, and most have been abandoned some ways, and turned it into the most beautiful, powerful, energizing word you've ever heard. The word abandonment. And then he spoke some more. He said, do you know what? Jesus was in the middle of the greatest game in history. He was in the middle of the greatest game. He was with the Father. He was with the angels. There was no sin, and there was no debts, and there was no wars, no mortgages. He was in the middle of the greatest game. And in that moment, he decided to abandon his game and leave the stadium of light. Not Sunderland FC Stadium, which I think is known as the Stern. And he left his stadium to come down into our game, into a world that was a stadium of darkness. And he came down into our game to help us abandon our game of darkness and enter into his light until it circled the earth, and he returns for us and takes every single one of us back with him for the replay in the stadium of light. Give it up for the Lord Jesus Christ, guys. Oh my God, we got to see the big picture, guys. We got to see the big picture. But I needed to know when he said this, I said, that's okay. But what if the game we are in is chaos? And you all know, you've all been ghosted or rejected or abandoned or you're fired in your job, whatever, misunderstood. You all know what being abandoned means. And I want to help us see there's earthly abandonment. Because in earthly reality, which he came into, it was to get us out of that into heavenly reality so we could see every earthly abandonment prepares us for our new game. Because if we never abandon some things, we'd be shackled and struggling to enter his new game, which is to be salt and light and circle the earth until he returns. I hope you're getting ready for Easter, guys. I hope you're getting, and I hope I can help us see, because I've always got one question when I get a download, but I need to know, God, does this work in chaos? Does this work for somebody that shows up in the worst possible situation? You need to help me. You need to confirm it before Sunday. And I got a call yesterday morning from one of the most war-torn corners on the face of the earth, from a pastor and his wife hiding, where 20%, they reckon, of the country have been murdered and are still being murdered every day. We've been keeping in touch with Pastor Madeline and her husband in Haiti, and this rocked me to the core. Because I said, I hear the chaos, I see there's multiple gangs running the country with machine guns. They attacked the prison and let 4,000 prisoners free. They've had to leave their house and they're hiding in a schoolroom. They have a school of 300 children, but the kids can't come to school. and the teachers now have no pay, and they have no gas, they have no electricity. And she said, well, we've not been allowed to go to the shops for 2 months. We've been in hiding. But in the last 2 weeks, it's increased. It's gone crazy. In the last 2 weeks, we can't even go in the front garden because the chances you've been shot is like about 100%. We can't even go into the front garden. And those of you like Peter Payne and Stephen and different ones that have been in Haiti, you know how bad it was then. So she said, we're in our house, and we had to ship her daughter to out the country so that she wouldn't be whatever. But I was wanting to hear what she was going to say as a response in the midst of the chaos. I said, but tell me, how are you and what can we do to help? And she quoted Psalm 91:4. She said, oh, pastor, we are living under the refuge of the Lord. Oh. And then she nailed it. When I said, but we got to send you something. Can we send you food? Can we send you this? What can we do to send you? She says, well, her answer was others. That was her only thing she said. She said, well, you know, we feel for the young teachers who can't work anymore and they have no food and they have nothing to eat. Is there any way you could send us a little money for the teachers? Her answer was others. And I said, that's what I want to be like. That's where I want to go. And so I better start preaching, eh? I'm away, I'm still on my story. But don't worry, I won't make it too long for y'all. And so I've been fired up all week about this glorious invitation that we have moment by moment to abandon ourselves and do something for others, even if it's a prayer. When I say even if it's a prayer, that's the most important thing you could do. And I hope whatever tough situation you're in, whatever chaos you're facing, that God will flip it to us today and help us see something maybe we've not seen before. And so let's go to that moment. There's a moment in the Bible where we get invited into Jesus talking to his dad. I think it's about the only occasion I could find in the Bible where we get invited into this intimate conversation. Are you still with me, guys? We're doing all right so far? Or you want a wee cup of tea? So after the Lord's Supper, Jesus prays in the upper room, and as he prepares for his arrest and crucifixion, the time of prayer is the only time recorded in the Gospels in which we truly get to hear Jesus' words to his Father. It's a brilliant passage, and he makes so many wonderful statements in this truth, and I see things in it I've never seen before. And I don't find it easy to get it out of here and out there, so I hope the Lord helps me do this. He says so many wonderful things, and we also find a powerful truth Jesus speaks that will rock us to the core if we can get this. Because this message of alternative reality is rarely heard, but he's given them an unbelievable key. John 17:13, it says this, but now I have come to you, Jesus says, now I've left my stadium, I've come to yours, that you may have my joy fulfilled in yourselves. Oh, anybody got too much joy this morning? Anybody need a bit more joy? Come on, guys. So here we go. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Surprise, surprise. you got rejected too. Nothing new under the sun. And the world has hated them because, and this freaks me out, the world has hated them because they're not of this world. Has anybody else in this room ever felt a wee bit different to those, a wee bit like an alien? In some places, some settings, or a wee bit like a foreigner? Well, if you've not, you're supposed to. Because he drills it home here. We're aliens. We're foreigners. We're not of this world. He puts it this way. I do not pray that you should take them out the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, and you've sent me into the world, and I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified also. The word power in the Bible comes from dunamis. You all know that. It's the same word as dynamite. This is pure dynamite he's sending them. Because we're suffering. People are suffering when the only reality they're wired to is earthly reality and what's around them and what's been seen and what's happening. But how many times in Scripture does someone have said, but when I was in the Spirit, when I was in the Spirit, in other words, when I tapped into another reality, oh my goodness me, I'm struggling to get there, but we'll get there. So in order that we would step in, live in an alternative reality. So here's the quick one. And I said to the Lord, right, I get this. You said Jesus came as an ordinary baby, an ordinary man. You know, he became one of us. So how come so many things I touch turn to dust? And how come everything he touched turned to gold? How come he turned water into Sauvignon Blanc? You know, I can turn Sauvignon Blanc into water, no problem. And he hit me with this, it was brilliant. He said, here's the thing. You are in the world, he is in the world, but here's the difference. Even though he lived in this world, he never operated from this world and its reality. He was constantly in touch with his Father, and his headquarters was the stadium in heaven, and he was operating from heaven, from his head office at all times, from all the power, all the resources, all the anointing, all the healing, and all the miracles that heaven could deliver. Let's put our hands together and give it up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, it's not rocket lettuce. If you want to go this way, then abandon earthly reality. Abandon everything the devil throws at you every day to pull you off and step into a heavenly reality, especially when chaos comes. Oh my goodness me. The seven killers that are sent to war against you stepping into his reality. And 1 Peter 2:11, he says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that war against your souls. Guys, let's switch the lights on. We're in a war. Don't get mugged by it, distracted by it, or paralyzed into earthly reality. 1 Peter 2:11, he says, we're in a war. So what's the war? The enemy uses seven weapons to keep you in earthly reality. They used to be known as the seven deadly sins: pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, ouch, wrath, and sloth. Pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. Why are these seven killers? Because every one is designed to get us to step out of his world back into our own world, and then we're no good to others. And it happens to me almost every day in life. At least one or two or three of these come chatting the door. So he was like the first reverse immigrant in history. Immigrants, understandably, want a better life like we all do. And many genuine immigrants are in a tough place, and they're forced sometimes, or they're in a place where they have to go looking for a better place. Jesus left the best place to come to the worst place. I hope the anointing of his love is coming on you. I hope it's coming on you, because that's where the energy, the power, and the strength comes from. To take care of one more soul, even when you're under the cosh. Because he was beaten, stripped, his back torn apart 39 times. And you know, here's the litmus test. How do you know if we've stepped into an alternative reality, others-centered love zone? The love test comes when chaos shows up. So he says, he is not of this world, and neither are you. What? When you come to Jesus, he lifts you out of that stadium of darkness, and you're no longer of this world, no longer. In other words, you no longer have an earthly office, earthly, you know, vault, earthly resources, earthly thinking, and earthly troubles. Yes, they face you, but they don't belong to you anymore. You've stepped into a stadium of light. But the litmus test comes regarding our love for others when chaos shows up. And if Jesus modeled this 1,000 times and more, none more so than when he was hanging on that cross. So here's the thing, when chaos shows up, and I believe this, I live this, until chaos shows up. And what I do when chaos shows up, I stack back into the world that I left. I step back into, I better take care of myself. I better, you know, take a year out. I better just go and get a little comfort ice cream. I step back into the world that kills the other-centered world. And I'm sure nobody else does that here. And I get it, I understand. And of course, sometimes we have to retreat. We have to go and have a sabbatical. And some people genuinely do have to have a year out. And that's okay in order to get back into the game. But Jesus at the cross, to his last breath, modeled this other-centered love. He couldn't have had 2 ounces of energy left, 2 ounces of pain-free living left. But when the dying thief was facing a bigger chaos, because Jesus was heading to the stadium of light, and the thief was heading to the stadium of darkness. And in that moment, Jesus went in his pocket and took out his free bus pass. Said, there you go, son, you're sorted. You don't need your wallet. You don't need to earn it. You don't have to pay for it. It's a free bus pass to the stadium of light. Oh, Give it up for the Lord Jesus, guys. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. I want to be like that. And so I nearly bought a t-shirt yesterday, which I absolutely love. It says, it was Lindsay texts me. I says, how you doing, Lindsay? Oh, chaos time, doing Easter eggs with the bairns in the house. Just like to expose you there, Lindsay, you know, for not being the perfect mother for my grandchildren. But I said, Lindsay, I saw this t-shirt, I gotta get it, and it's embrace the chaos. Embrace the chaos. Jesus must have been, it said he was tempted every way, but so he must have been tempted. Let them get on with it, Dad. Just let them get on with it. You just go and put your telly on, son, and watch England get beat with Brazil with that dodgy flag on the back. You know, just go and get some comfort. Other-centered living is the key to being fully alive, full of health, mentally blessed, energized all your days. Now, here is something I never saw before. We're told by preachers when the Bible repeats something a couple of times, pay attention, it's really important. Pay attention. So we don't miss this, 41 times in the book of John alone, it refers to Jesus leaving that stadium for this one. 41 times. 41 times. 41 times he wants you and me to know, doesn't matter if you're in chaos, it doesn't matter if you're abandoned, it doesn't matter when you get rejected, it doesn't matter. He left the stadium. He is driving the bus. You're going home one day to the stadium of light. And he's going to wrap it all up one day. He said that every single knee will bow. But in the meantime, I'm only asking you to help me circle the earth by being salt and light to one more person who's in a worse state than you tomorrow. Let's give up the Lord Jesus Christ. So every time the devil comes and makes you feel bad or depressed or remind you what you're in, just go in the devil's face 41 times, you sucker. 41 times. He made it clear he loved me so much that he abandoned his game because I was struggling in my game. In fact, I was just, my lights were almost completely out in my game. But the price he paid, and I had all kinds of examples of others' love of human beings on earth, but the Lord said, talk about my son Jesus. Because if we leave here today, and we remind ourselves every single moment when you wake up feeling shock and look up and see the face of Jesus and see the cross that's not blue and pink, but it's a rugged cross, red with his blood that dripped down it. And remember this when you're in a moment in your life like we've all been, and it feels like your life's hanging by a thread. And the next time the devil says, I got you now, you're hanging by a thread. You just tell the devil, you're absolutely right, I'm hanging by a thread. But it's not the earthly reality thread. It's that one that hang out of the prostitute's, Rahab's window that the spies could hold on to that rescued them and rescued her. And that scarlet thread that goes all the way through the Bible is the blood of Jesus. And so the next time he depresses you by saying, well, you're goose now, your bank's empty, your relationship's dangerous, you just remind yourself, step into your earthly reality. Step out of earthly reality and step into the heaven reality. Is He's provided a scarlet thread for every one of us, His precious blood. And the Bible is clear in Revelations that nothing defeats the devil more than his blood. And your story, your testimony, your story, that when you were faced with jacking in, when you were faced with giving up, when you're faced with, well, what's the future look like? You took hold of the scarlet thread. The scarlet thread, the blood of Jesus. And that was enough to hold you. And that, do you know when your big brother or sister used to say, yeah, the rope swing is safe. Just jump on it, son, and it'll take you right across the burn, right across the water. And 10 seconds later, your backside's in the water and the mud, you're soaking wet, and he's laughing his head because the rope didn't hold you. If I could convince any human being of any today, his rope will hold you if you hold on to it. And so I want to finish with this because I've no idea what's on my notes. I'm all over the place, but that's all right. Every morning, wake up, step out of earthly reality. I said to the lady in the pastor in Haiti, how do you do it with all the news and the media? She said, oh, that's earthly reality. We never listen to it. She says there are helicopters surrounding her house. We're told it's the American military coming to rescue us. But we don't tap into that reality. We keep ourselves in the glory of God and in the promises of God and in earthly reality. And we don't even like to tell people about our troubles. What? What do you mean? We don't, because we don't want to bring attention to ourselves. We want to bring it to the King and give Him all the glory. Every single situation. Margaret from Zimbabwe, I just met this morning. She was telling me Zimbabwe's, I said, is it worse or better? She said, she went something like this. And I began to think and say, God, step into that country. Step into the life of every wee grandmother and every wee mother trying to find food. Step in and switch on heavenly reality. And I'm telling you now, there's a million things to keep you plugged into earthly reality. Oh, you're not going to make it. Oh, life is tough. Can I finish with this last story? I have a friend. His name is Colin Dye. He's a pastor of one of the best churches in the whole of England. He was the head of the whole Elam movement, and we worked together and ministering to thousands for years, and I hadn't heard from him in a while. I heard a rumor he'd retired. And so I called him yesterday, and we had instantly big laughs on the phone, big memories, and we had a great, the crack was brilliant. And I said, so what are you doing, Colin? I heard a rumor that you're retiring, and you're now deep sea diving. He said, yes, you're right, I'm DC diving. God has opened the door for millions upon millions upon millions of Muslims who have turned to Jesus that need discipled. This man is embracing chaos when it'd be so easy to step back into the golf world. Nothing wrong with golf apart from on television, it isn't golf, it's just televised Sky. You can't see the flipping ball, you just spend an hour watching Sky. But Colin had a choice to go deep sea diving. He had a choice. This, he says, Jimmy, I've never heard a 70-year-old man more on fire. They have no discipleship materials. I think he's written about 20 of the best books on the Holy Spirit. He said, what I'm doing is getting all my books interpreted to disciple multi-million new believers who are the most beautiful Christians, hungry for Jesus. They can't wait the materials. Don't you dare believe God's not on the move. There are some people who have the choice to step back into the world, but they're making a radical decision, just like you, to get up one more time and embrace somebody else's chaos, whether it's one or 100 million. Give it up for the Lord Jesus Christ, guys. Come on, louder. 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 Father God, the radio station of earthly reality is on 24/7. Give us the wisdom to see it and step out of it first thing every morning and step into a heavenly reality. Help us to put a music on and worship you like we've never worshiped before until we are through into your presence, in your reality, and you begin to speak. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.